Amen. Appreciate that this morning. Turn your Bibles today at this time, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And I want to read one verse today for my message. That's verse 18, Proverbs chapter 4, and verse number 18. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the path of the just. The path of the just. Now, chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 18, let me go ahead now and read that verse. The Bible says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Notice it says, the path of the just. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning as we approach the throne of grace, we do so thankful for your goodness, your presence. Thank you for the service we've already enjoyed. And our Father, we pray for every name that was just called, every request that was just made, and all of those today that were identified as on our prayer list. Our Father, we pray that you would bless and meet needs accordingly in a way that only you can. And God, I pray now this morning you'll touch hearts and use this message for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The path of the just. Here in verse number 18, the Bible talks about the path of the just. Now, to get started this morning with what I want to say, as we think of the path of the just, let me just say this morning. The path of the just is the pathway of a Christian. Here we're talking about the Christian, the path of the Christian. It's a pathway of righteous living. The Christian is a justified person. So therefore, we understand, we conclude that the path of the just is a path of a Christian. And thank God, let me say today also, the path of the just is a path of life. It's a path of life. Psalmist said, Psalm 16, verse number 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So it's not only a path of a Christian, it's a path of life, and the path of the just, thirdly, let me say, is a path that has been tried and proven. It's been tried and proven, for the righteous have found that path as a path of blessing, a path of guidance, and a path of pleasure. I think of Psalm 1, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his precept doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." So let me reemphasize the point. The path of the just is a path that's been tried, it's been proven, and those that walk upon that path can testify, can talk about God's blessing, God's grace, God's goodness, God's guidance, and so forth. The path of the just, could I also say this morning, represents an old-fashioned, it's a path that represents old-fashioned righteous living. And I want to say this morning, it's still in style in spite of the new trends and fashions. It's still in style. The Bible says, in fact, I think of what Jeremiah 6:16 says. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and ask for the old paths." He says, "Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, you shall find rest for your souls." So the path of the just, it's an old path. It's a path that's been around a long time. It's a path that's been tried and proven. It's a path that has proven itself. It's an old-fashioned path that does not need to be changed. It does not need to be corrected. It does not need to be revised. It's already proven itself. The path of the just. The path of the just is a criticized path. Oftentimes it's been called too old-fashioned for today's culture. But I want to also make a little note here and say this. It's a path that is still unaltered, though. People can say it's old-fashioned, but my friend, it's still in fashion for those interested in serving God. It's still the path that you and I need to be upon. It's still a good path. It needs to be understood that the path of the just has not been streamlined by the times nor amended to accommodate modern godless living. It does not accommodate modern godless living. If there is to be any amending that is to be done, let the amending be on our part. You see, we don't change the Bible. The Bible's what changes us. We don't correct the Bible. The Bible is what it is. We don't have to try to correct it because it's been around a lot longer than we have. And it's proven itself. The path of the just. This path is old, but it's not antiquated. This path is authentic, but it's not imitated. It's not imitated. Now, what do I mean by that? What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying today that many people have tried to imitate Christianity. Many people have tried to imitate the godly life. It cannot be imitated. It's what it is. A person is either real or they're not. A person's either genuine or they're not. A person is either saved or they're not. A person is either in or out. You see, we cannot amend it. We cannot somehow change it. It is what it is. The path of the just. Those that walk this path walk a pathway of freedom. Thank God from sin's bondage and enjoy the peace and presence of God. This path is a path of life. And I'll tell you what I really like about it. This path leads to a brighter future, for it's a highway to heaven path. It'll eventually lead us to heaven. This path is not a mistaken path, for it's a genuine way of the spiritual life. It's the way of life, for it's associated with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why we know it is a path of life. Those that walk this path claim a Bible salvation. Those that walk this path appreciate what I believe, and of course I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. They appreciate the precious truth of that verse that says, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who are on that path appreciate the work of Christ. They appreciate Calvary. They appreciate what God has done, and they're not out to change it. Those on this path have come from the far country of sin and are at home with the Father. You say, preacher, I'm not home with the Father. If you're saved, you're already home with the Father. You'll be geographically one day home with Him, but you're already home with the Father. Prove it. I think I can prove it. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already identified with the Father. We're in Christ. And I tell you, if you're in Christ, you're pretty close to the Father, aren't you? And so that says it. We've come out of the far country of sin, just like the old prodigal. Wasted his substance in righteous living, came to himself, and thank God came back to the Father. And that's what happened to us when we got saved. We came from the far country of sin, came to the Father, and started walking the path of the just. Those that are on this path, they know real joy. They know real peace. They have real hope. Those walking the path of the just, and by the way, I will say this. Sometimes it is altogether possible to get sidetracked, to get backslidden, and to become critical sometimes of the things of God. But here's what I found. Anytime the child of God that gets sidetracked, if we will simply resort to prayer, to reading our Bibles, in pondering the things of God, and give our hearts to the study of God's Word, we'll find ourselves not criticizing anymore the old path. Whenever you find God's people becoming critical of the things of God, there's one thing for certain, they're out of fellowship with the Lord. Start reading your Bibles. Start praying. Start seeking God's face, and you'll find you'll appreciate those old paths again. I like what somebody one time said about those old paths. They said, I like the old paths when crime did not pay, but hard work did. And folks knew the difference. I like the old paths where moms cooked, dads worked, and children behaved. I like the old paths where husbands were loving, wives were supportive, and children were polite. I like the old past where women wore the jewelry and men wore the pants. I like the old past where women looked like ladies, men looked like gentlemen, and children looked presentable. I like the old past where people loved the truth, hated a lie, and went to church to get in, not to get out. I like the old past when hymns were godly, sermons were helpful, rejoicing was normal, and crying was sincere. I like the old past when cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, and divorce was unthinkable. I like the old past when our flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcome. I like the old past when we read the Bible in public, we prayed in schools, we preached from house to house. To be an American was worth dying for, to be a Christian was worth living for, and refusing to do either was shameful. I like the old past when preachers preached because they had a message, and Christians rejoiced because they had victory. When preachers preached from the Bible, singers sang from the heart, and sinners turned to the Lord. I like the old path when new birth meant a new life, salvation meant a changed life, and following Christ meant eternal life. I like the old path when being a Christian meant you lived for Jesus, being a sinner meant somebody was praying for you, and God was worshipped, Christ was exalted, and the Holy Spirit was respected. I want to say this morning I still believe in the old paths. I believe a proper name sometimes for some churches that are being established. I'm talking about independent Baptist churches ought to be. They ought to start calling them the Old Path Baptist Church again. Many of these Baptist churches are no longer Old Path Baptist churches. Many of them have got on new Bibles. Many of them have thrown away standards. Many of them have no respect for old-fashioned Christianity. Many of them are singing songs following a dancing ball across the screen instead of singing the old hymns of the faith that were birthed in prayer and birthed in persecution and written by men of God and women of God who knew God in reality. We've gotten away from those old paths. But I tell you, the path of the just is an old path. It has not changed. The path of the just. I would say today, and if I had a homiletics teacher in this auditorium this morning grading me on homiletics, and grading me on alliterated outlines, I'd fail. I just simply want to make a few points today as we talk about the path of the just. I see a danger. I see a danger of a detour. This is a day of bypass. This is a day of bypass. Many are attempting to bypass sin, for example, by renaming it. Many are not calling it what it is. Some are calling it immaturity. Some are calling it arrested development. Some are calling it sowing wild oats. Some are calling it sickness, but God still calls it sin. Alcoholism today is called a disease. It's amazing to me if alcohol is a disease, it's amazing how much is spent to help spread that disease today when you stop and think about it. Somebody has called today when it comes to even the matter of lying. They have said that a liar is nothing but an extrovert with a lively imagination. No, no. Today they've changed things around. Adultery is not called sin any longer. But I want to go on record this morning of saying this. I'll say it right from the Bible. The Bible says plainly, time and time again. But here's a verse that comes to my mind. Marriage is honorable. And the bit undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. If you've got any problem with that, you've got a problem with the Bible. Because that's what the book says. These people today that are living like animals. Anymore you go out on visitation, and half the time you come to homes, nobody's introduced any longer as this is my wife or this is my husband. It's this is my friend. This is my live-in person. Well, let things change, but God hasn't. Let things change, but the Bible hasn't. Let things change, but that's not going to alter judgment. I love God this morning, and I know you do. And I love to preach on the love of God, and I know you like to hear it. But there comes a time that we have to say in a balanced look at the book. Let's understand this. However, though, God loves the sinner, but God hates the sin. Unless a person gets to the cross and have their sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, their sin is upon them. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's still the Bible. And as they sang this morning, it's still the blood. That hasn't changed. Dangerous day of a detour. Have you noticed? People can go out and commit murder, and they can become exonerated because they visit some shrink who said they were mentally disturbed. They had enough sense to pull the trigger. Then let them have enough sense to face the consequences. And here's another point. I tell you, I'm mad today. Mad at what? Not you. Mad at sin, just like you should be. We all ought to hate sin equally. Not a thing of the pulpit. It's not a thing from the preacher. It ought to be a thing of every Christian. Every one of us today ought to hate sin with a blue-blooded passion. Because it's destroying homes. It's wrecking lives. It's splitting churches. It's taking a toll everywhere we go. Sin is ravaging this land, and God's people need a revival in hating sin. We can today deny the rights of the unborn by ripping them from their mother's womb while insisting on women's rights to have abortion. I'm so thankful to finally again have a president and a vice president standing against the Holocaust of the unborn. I'm thankful to God today for a man like Donald Trump. I may not always agree with him, but thank God I'm glad he's laid politics aside and he's who he is and we got what we got. And at least he's got enough courage to speak out. Amen. Let's give him credit for that. That's true. Dangerous detour. The path of the just. The path of the just. It's an old-fashioned path that hasn't been altered. The sad thing. This is point number two. I told you, no alliteration this morning. The sad thing is that many professing Christians no longer blush at sin. Do you know there's a Bible verse that says that? Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Neither can they blush. Oh God, help us. We no longer blush. We no longer are stricken with shame. It seems like now we're justifying everything. We have so long grown accustomed to the ethics of Hollywood, being piped into our living rooms that the cursing, the profanity, the lewdness in the bedroom scenes no longer bother us. And that is a fact. It used to be Christians would turn their TVs off. It used to be Christians would turn channels. But what's happened? We no longer blush. Vance Havner had a sermon he used to preach years ago when he was living. It's called Getting Used to the Dark. We're getting used to the dark. We've been in the darkness now, and our eyes are getting adjusted. Brother Havner used to talk about how when you walk into a dark room, of how initially your eyes do not adjust. You can't see a thing. But as you stay in that room for a while, your eyes begin to adjust. You can start seeing a little bit. You kind of start getting used to the dark. Well now, here's where we are as a culture. Here's where we are as a church. I'm not talking about Smith Grove per se. I'm talking about church generally. Here's where we are in Christendom. We have been exposed so long now to the darkness, to the sin, to the corruption, to the immorality. Like this morning when I was teaching the Sunday school class to the class this morning, I had a statement up that somebody had made. It used to be a difficult time for homosexuals to come out of the closet. I'm kind of paraphrasing that statement. Because no one accepted homosexuality. Those people stayed in the closet. Let me tell you, let me make it clear this morning. They have a soul and God will save them. I'm not against them, but I'm certainly against that sin because the Bible calls it an abomination. Now, what happened? Used to be, homosexuals had a difficult time coming out of the closet, but now our culture so changed that Bible-believing, godly people are having a difficult time coming out of the closet. Because they're being persecuted. They're being ridiculed. They're being called a fool. They're being called nitwits. They're being called people that are do not have a heart, that are cold and that are indifferent. And now it's becoming more difficult for the people of God, in a sense, to come out of the closet. That's where we are as a culture. But again, are we going to get used to the dark? Are we going to accept the status quo? Are we going to give in? Or are we going to go back? And again, let's bring the TV back in perspective. Are we going to start cutting them off again? Are we going to start changing channels again? Or are we going to simply go on saying, well, that's just how it is today. You got to understand. No, no, you don't understand. Here's what you understand. You understand that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to the people. That's what you understand. That's God's unalterable law. You don't alter that. God knows that this is 2017. God knows the times have changed, but God hasn't. People may try to revise the Bible. People may try to change it, but it hasn't been changed. It's the same. The path is a just. Is a path that is a just path. It's a path of life. It's a path of traditional Christianity. And it's a path of Bible instruction. It's a path of Bible instruction. Now the psalmist talks about the path showing, or God showing him the path of life. Hey, did you catch it? Here's what it says. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. He talks about God showing him the path of life. How are we shown the path of life? We're not shown the path of life because of a message written in the sky. We're not shown the path of life because of having a dream at nighttime. We're shown the path of life through the Bible. We're given instruction on walking on the path of life through the Bible. Everything that God would teach us today, He teaches us through the Bible. That's where we get our instruction. Let me give you something to chew on. We value the year 1611. We believe we have the Word of God in our hand in the King James Bible. We value the year 1611. However, let's be clear on something. I'd be less than a teacher if I didn't point out something to you. If you go back and read the Bible to 1611, you're going to have a hard time reading it though. Let's be fair about something. But we still are King James people. But in fact, I've got one. I've got a Bible, 1611 Bible in my study. You ought to read it sometime. Old English, have a tough time reading it. But I'm still a King James person. But I haven't gotten to my main point yet. We value the year 1611. Now, chew on this for a while. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. 16:11. Psalm 16:11. Now here's my point. Here's my point. We're blessed more not by simply being proud of what's on the cover, but by obedience to what's in the content. There's a danger of defending our Bible while not obeying it. Do you realize this morning, God blesses us, God instructs us not by what's written on the title page, not by what's on the cover. God blesses us, God instructs us by what's in the content. Many people today are proud of their Bible in terms of what it says on the content, but I'll tell you, some people aren't being shapen too much by what's inside it. We're going to be blessed more by content. Content. There's a danger of defending our Bible while not obeying it. The just, by the way, are open to being shown. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Those on the path of the just are open to being shown. And how are they shown? They're shown through the Word of God. That's how. Number four. I'm a professional enough to at least have numbers. Number four. The path, and I like this. It's a good way to end. The path of the just is a bright path. And according to that text right there that I just read, events is going to really get bright. The path of the just is as a shining light, did you catch it? That shineth more and more into the perfect day. It's a bright path, but thank God it's going to really get bright one day. The path is a path that is right. The path is a path that is of life. The path is a path that has light. There's coming a perfect day. It's going to really get bright then. You know, it's amazing, the development of technology today when it comes to lighting. Lighting. It's pure and simple, just lighting. We've come a long way in light bulb development, haven't we? What about the improvement of the LED lighting? Much brighter. Bulbs last longer. Now I think, for example, I think of the salvation of a sinner. You know, when a person gets saved, there's a point here, the light comes on. They come out of obscure darkness into light. The light comes on. Oh yes, when we're first saved, it seems the light in some way is a little dim because we don't know a whole lot, do we? We're still basically dumb as a gourd when it comes to the matter of understanding the Bible. We don't know much. I mean, thank God the light's on, but it may not be too bright. But when you, listen to me, when you come out of obscure darkness and come into the light, I don't care how dim the light is, it's awful bright then. But I think of the development of the light bulb even. And I've been around long enough now to have noticed a few things. I'm not quite as old as some of you, although. Bruce over here is about 10 years older than I am, I believe. Sometimes I have a way of humbling Bruce, though. Y'all know what I do? I'll go up to Bruce and I'll complain about having some illness. You know, him and I, we talk a lot. And I'll say to Bruce, I'll say, Bruce, now, when you get what I got, I'll talk about a problem I've got. I said, now, eventually you'll get it. It'll come with age. And so, Bruce, you appreciate my prophetic insight, don't you? Well, I'm reminding you ahead of time. Now, how I got on the subject of picking on you, I don't know. It actually has nothing to do with my message. But let me give you a West Virginia illustration. Y'all don't mind that, do you? I think you know it's where I'm from. I can remember my old houses we lived in West Virginia. I remember a time we didn't have a bulb. Period. Then I remember when we finally got a bulb, and it wasn't too pretty. Basically, what we had in some of the houses I've lived in, two-story houses in West Virginia, we'd have a bulb hanging down from the ceiling. That was it. And I think the thing was about a 40 watt or whatever. I mean, no chandelier, nothing fancy about it, just a bulb hanging down. That's all we had. We saved the fancy chandelier maybe for the living room. But that's all we had. But we appreciated that, though. Are you telling me that's the way it used to be in North Carolina? Please tell me it ain't so. The other day, Carol and I went down to Lowe's to pick up a new bulb that we're going to try out in our house. We picked up an LED light. You know, we have several little lights in the house, but we only picked up a couple of them when we saw how expensive they were. But that LED light, in fact, we got to looking at it, actually wasn't too much brighter than the old light, was it? But they are supposed to get lighter, or be a little bit lighter. But now, all right, I can get serious, and here it comes. When I got saved, I saw the light in terms of coming to Christ. In terms of being in light, I no longer was in darkness. It may have been a 50-watt bulb, because it didn't know a lot. But as time has progressed, and we've tried to read the Bible, I find that the light's getting a little brighter. I see things a little bit better. I see things a little bit better than I used to. And for whatever reason, it seems like now we've kind of got into the LED stage, you might say, of seeing things and understanding a little better. But there's coming a time where the psalmist said, we're going to enter the perfect day. That's going to be the time we're going to be dazzled by the LED lighting of glory. You see, this path of the just is a path leading to glory. It may not be too bright right now, but my friend, you better prepare yourself, because it's going to be brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And I think I know what that perfect day is talking about. It's talking about the day of glorification in Christ's presence. It's talking about the rapture of the church. It's even talking about the death of a saint. The light is going to get brighter. I hope today, and I pray today, you're on the path of the just. If not, the path you're on is a fatal path. It's a path of doom. It's a path of destruction. It's a path that the Bible talks about, a broad path, a broad way that leads to destruction. But straight is a gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be to find it. But there's a lot on that broad way today. But oh, my friend, today, get on the path of the just. To be on the path of the just, you've got to be justified by faith in Christ's finished work. And once you're on that path, you'll never regret it. You'll find yourself in light for the first time. And you'll find yourself with a light getting brighter as time goes on. And then one day you'll see what I'm talking about. The perfect day. It'll really come on then. Let's bow our heads in prayer.